In the next module, we discuss side effects and toxicities of CDKIs, and while all of the faculty and about two-thirds of the respondents believe the three approved CDKIs are similar in efficacy, there was more heterogeneity regarding the perception of tolerability, with more than half the respondents and the faculty noting preferences for one of these agents in terms of tolerability. While the faculty believe that up to half of patients receiving any of the approved CDKIs require dose adjustment from toxicity, the estimates on the survey respondents were somewhat lower. The faculty and respondents were split in terms of how to manage the dose of palbociclib in a patient with an ANC of 350, with some restarting the same dose and others reducing it. The faculty and respondents were also split in terms of the use of antidiarrheals in patients receiving abemaciclib. For a patient on abemaciclib who has grade 2 diarrhea that resolves promptly, the faculty all continued treatment, but the responses in the survey were more variable. Dr. Hamilton reviewed the pathophysiology of class and agent-specific toxicities of CDKIs and optimal management strategies.
I'm going to speak about the pathophysiology of the class and the agent-specific toxicities and management strategies for these three compounds. So the key differences among the CDK4/6 inhibitors, the IC50s are clearly different between palbociclib, ribociclib, and abemaciclib. Palbociclib, CDK4/6, and CDK6 is very similar, whereas ribociclib and abemaciclib, you can see, are more different between the CDK4/6, CDK4, and CDK6. Crosses blood-brain barrier. This is actually a little bit controversial. I think we were all very familiar with the abemaciclib data that it did cross the blood-brain barrier, and we've had more recent data that ribociclib does. I think probably this is a class effect, but is a bit different. The dosing is clearly different. I think we've touched on this in other modules, that palbociclib and ribociclib are 3 weeks on and 1 week off, where abemaciclib is continuous. This largely is because of the neutropenia side effect for palbociclib and ribociclib, and so the bone marrow gets a week break off to recover white count function. Major toxicities, again, neutropenia for both palbociclib and ribociclib. With ribociclib, we also get QTc prolongation that we have to monitor with EKGs, as well as LFT abnormalities, and there's some chemistry checks recommended in that package insert. Abemaciclib is a little bit of a different profile, less rates of neutropenia, but significant GI toxicity in the form of diarrhea, for which many patients have to take medication for. And then there's also some difference for food effect. Palbociclib can be taken with food, should be taken with food because absorption is lowered in the fasted state, and ribociclib and abemaciclib are recommended that can be taken in either. For the hematologic toxicities, the significant rates of neutropenia with both palbociclib and ribociclib, grade 3-4 neutropenia upwards of 60-70%. It is not completely absent with abemaciclib, so sometimes I get people calling me saying they have low counts on abemaciclib, what's wrong? It's certainly there. It's just a lower percentage, with grade 3-4 neutropenia being around 20 to maybe 35% in that setting. For GI toxicity, certainly significant diarrhea, nausea, vomiting is pretty rare for palbociclib and ribociclib, but there is significant diarrhea for abemaciclib that oftentimes can be quite well managed with medications. But again, about 80% rate of diarrhea and grade 3-4 up into the 10 to 15% range. And for LFT abnormalities, we really monitor those both for ribociclib and for abemaciclib a little bit more significant with ribociclib there. And then finally, increased creatinine, which is not an actual kidney function impairment. It's more of just a side effect with an increase of creatinine seen. Rare to be grade 3-4, but we do see grade 1-2 relatively frequency in the 10 to 20% range. Cardiac-related events. I think most significant for us in our practice is prolonged QTc interval with ribociclib in the 3 to 7% range. And then also, I don't think we've touched on this today, is the clotting risk with abemaciclib with pulmonary embolism and DVT. In trials, it looked like around 5% with PE and DVT and other thrombotic events. They were really grouped together in the abemaciclib trials. So a lot of people ask, you know, why does abemaciclib have a different profile than palbociclib and ribociclib if they're all pretty similar compounds? And why does palbociclib and ribociclib mirror each other so closely? Certain there are structural similarities that are much more similar between palbociclib and ribociclib. Abemaciclib is 14 times more potent against CDK4 cyclin D1 than CDK6 cyclin D3. So I think those differences probably contribute to a difference in side effect profile. Ribociclib and abemaciclib are 4 to 5 times more selective towards CDK4 over 6. They all vary in their selectivity towards other cyclin CDK complexes, which I think can contribute as well. And the differences of these ratios really may be clinically relevant, influencing the toxicities of each drug. Heme toxicities have been ascribed to the consequence of CDK6 inhibition. That really plays a large role in hematologic precursors and is probably the reason we see count changes with this class.